Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Satina Kirkendall. I'm coming to you with another Chronicles of Our Favorite Woman moment. Here I say comfort movement. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Let me tell you something. I got a reason to praise him. Everybody should have a reason to praise him. I have a reason to praise him. Let me just go into prayer really quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Lord, we give you all the glory. I thank you for what you have done in our lives, past, present, and what you're about to do. I thank you for my children. I thank you for the children of those who are on the line, whether it's live or the replay. And I also ask you for continued grace and mercy for my guest tonight and all of the authors on his awesome book. I thank you, Lord, because every time breakthrough has come, the enemy always likes to rear his ugly head. But I thank you for grace and mercy. I thank you for your genuine and authentic love. And Lord, as I move forward tonight, I am placing Futina at the throne of your feet. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in to not only saturate what's near and far, but dominate. I thank you for dispatching your angels, Lord, for making those crooked paths straight. And that I thank you for allowing me to be used as a vessel. I thank you for allowing our guests to be used as a vessel. I thank you for allowing those co-authors to be used as a vessel. I thank you for allowing the visionary. Thank you for giving her the vision. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Amen. I'm going to make it short. I'm going to try to make it short, y'all. But the truth of the matter is I got to give credit where credit is due for a couple minutes. One, I'm very grateful for my children. I'm particularly grateful and I'm very proud of my son, Chase. When Chase came 17 years after my first child, and throughout it all, he's been there for mom's congestion. Well, he wasn't there for the congestive heart failure because I had that after I had him, right after I had him. But he's been there for the strokes. He's been there for the heart attacks. He's been there for the chemo. He's been there for my infusions. He's there for my platelets. And even when my diabetes wants to act up, he is right there and on point. And I just got to give him kudos because I had an episode today and he was so calm and I'm so proud of him. I can't tell him enough that I'm very proud of him because I've had to teach him what happens with mom going through an episode, what do you need to do? And he was very calm. So I just got to give him his props. I got to do it. I appreciate it. Anyway, with that being said, I want to also say, if you have not, well, you know, I'll do that one at the end of the show. But anyway, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I am grateful. And when I tell you I am grateful for every opportunity I have to come in front of you all, for every moment that I have to be on this earth, for every moment I am able to share my story or have people, like-minded people come together and share a story. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Because when it's all said and done, when you're thinking that, you know what? I want to give up. I want to do whatever. Go back to your faith file, baby. Let me be a testament for you. Go back to those faith files. And I keep telling you, as we go through life, as we're crushing our goals and we're trying to get to the next level, just know we're not perfect. We're not perfect. Not at all. Not at all. And I want people to be mindful that in the pressing, there's sometime a messing. But in the messing, there is a blessing. So count it all joy, as the word of God says. Count it all joy. Because the truth of the matter is, ain't nobody perfect. And I don't care what they try to say. Hey, there is no perfect person. And the only person perfect person that walked the earth is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. His name is Jesus. And I'm appreciative of him, okay? So that being said, I'm looking forward to next show. I will have my tripod back up again because the other one is gone, y'all. I tried to revive it, but it didn't work. Anyway, with that being said, you all know that I am a part of an anthology project called Imperfectly Fierce and Focused, and we're on our book tour. And the book tour is working with me for the month of May, and I'm so excited to have one of our authors here today. And one of the things I love about the Stricker Project is the people that I am able to meet along the way. They are so awesome, and they're phenomenal women of God. But what I love the most is that they're decided to share their story. And what I love about, I found that as I met new authors, some of them I knew, but I got introduced to people that I didn't know. And everybody has a story. Everyone has a story. Everyone. So with that being said, I can tell that you all can hear me. I was going to ask that, but now I know that you can. Good evening to everyone that's listening right now live and for those who will catch it on the replay. Anyway, Imperfectly Fierce and Focused. The title alone should say enough. But I'm not going to continue to chit-chatting because we got to get her on here. So I'm going to partially introduced because I don't want to get her last name messed up because I tried to practice it, you all. I really did. I want you to know I tried. So I'm going to introduce to some and present to others Miss Amy. And Miss Amy, how are you today? Because I'm going to have you give me your correct pronunciation of your last name. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good, Christina. Thank you for having me on.
Most definitely, most definitely. Now, if you all cannot hear her, please let me know, and then we'll get that. I'll get that adjusted accordingly. So, could you please, because my name is Christina Kirkendall. I don't like messing up people's last names. Would you please give me the correct pronunciation of your name?
Yes, it's Amy Arizmendi.
Amy Arizmendi. I hope I said it right. Did I say it right?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, okay. I think so. I hope so. Okay. So with that being said, I got three questions for you, and then we're going to get rocking and rolling. Who are, I need you to tell me who you are, mm-hmm. what do you do, and why you love doing what you do.
Okay, so I'm Amy Arizmendi, as I said. I'm currently a coach for veterans to help them work through the stuck points of their life, let go of their past, and become who they've envisioned to become. That's one of mm-hmm. my biggest missions in life, is really to help people, especially veterans, uncover who they are so that they can begin to walk in their full power. What was the second question?
What do you do, which you've already answered, and why do you love doing what you do?
Yes, I love doing what I do because I see over and over again people being healed, like letting go of the old, if you will, like I think of skin that sheds, mm-hmm. right? And that's mm-hmm. what I do. I help people shed that old skin that may be keeping them held back from who they're meant to be. I consistently hear people telling me how thankful they are that our paths cross so that they could just begin to walk and be the person they always dreamt of being. We create all kinds of stories in our heads based on our experiences, and that's like kind of like writing a book. We're writing that chapter, right? Well, you get to, like, you know, as we're writing, there's an editing process and there's things that are moved around, things that are reworded. Well, we can do that in our life as well. We get to decide what the story is. And but nobody really tells people that. We just kind of take things at face value and we make things mean certain things, and that's it. We shut the book and we're like, it's done. But it's not. Uh-huh. We can always go back and say, yeah, that happened back then, and now I want to feel differently about it. I'm going to choose to heal that part. And so that's why I love what I get to do.
It is refreshing. That is refreshing. Couple things. Okay, so first of all, thank you for being one of the contributing authors on the book, because Imperfectly Fierce 1, you just said that's why you thought highly of being in this book. One, let me just let everyone know that the visionary author, Reverend Dr. Kiva Lernice Murdoch, is phenomenal. She is a phenomenal, from the moment I met her, phenomenal. And when she introduced the project, I was like, this is something I got to do. So I want to ask you, Miss Amy, what was your thought? Why did you decide to take a part in this project?
Yes. Why did I decide to? Because I've wanted to write my story for years. And having never written a book yet, I thought this would be a great way to get started, first and foremost, in full transparency. However, beyond that and bigger than that, when I saw the title and when I spoke with Ms. Kiever, I just knew that this was where I was supposed to be, that this was the time to share a small portion of my story, to get it out there. And because when we hold everything in, guess what? It just stays inside of us, and it's not expressed. And so I have found, like, I used to be so quiet and not say anything about me or my life, but the more I've begun to express what I've been through and share with others, that's where I learned that we all go through things. Kind of like you said at the beginning, we all have stories to tell. We all do. Mm-hmm. And the world, we are better when we share our stories, because there was a time where I felt like I must be the only one going through this. Because when I looked out at the vastness of people, wherever I was, it seemed like nobody else was going through anything, because we get good at wearing masks when we're out in public, right? Nobody sees. We keep it all tucked in. And so I did the same. And then one day I just started sharing my story. And that's why I want to be in this book, is because I want to share my story. I want to start getting it out there so that we can find common ground on this human experience.
Isn't it interesting that, you know, we share that same thought? We think that we're the only ones going through. We keep quiet because nobody's going to understand. At least, hey, Mr. Reggie, how you doing? because we think no one's going to understand, so we keep quiet. At least I know I did. I kept quiet because, one, nobody's going to understand. They're going to judge me and criticize me, and so I was like, okay, I got to do this by myself. And it sounds like, you know, from what I'm hearing from you, that you kind of felt that way too. At what point did you get to a place where you said, I got to start speaking out? What was that pivotal moment that made you say, I need to share my story?
I don't know what the pivotal point was, to be exact. I don't know. I just noticed other people going through things. I remember, so I was in the military. And I remember being at one of my commands, and there was an incident that happened, caused me to look inside at the things I was suppressing. And that was probably one of the biggest things that showed me it wasn't just me. And so when I experienced that, I think that's when the wheel really started turning, that we can connect more with other people just by sharing our stories. That's not how we're raised, though, right? We're raised to keep things quiet, to keep it in our family. Nobody needs to know what's going on outside of our family. And And I grew up kind of like you said, being very independent and feeling like, well, I got to do this on my own. And I did. And I got so exhausted. And I couldn't understand why some people seemed to be making things happen so quickly. And I remember, and this is only recently, I was going through a coaching program and I learned to let my guard down. I learned to become more curious about the stories I was telling myself so that maybe there could be a different possibility. And so I learned how to let people support me. And that was new. And that was such a good feeling to just be able to say how I could use support and then see people rally around me to support me. I did not grow up like that.
I can definitely relate to you with that. Isn't it such a refreshing feeling?
Yeah.
When you realize, hey, I'm not by myself. I don't have to do this by myself. You know, there is help. And even though it's a transition, when you're not used to something, you get introduced to it. How difficult? Okay, let me just tell you something about me, Amy. I'm very straight up, and I'm trying my best, you know, so I just got to be me. So I'm going to be direct.
That's right, girl. You be you.
I appreciate it. Let me ask you something. When you got to that point when you started letting people in, and you're right, we grew up in that era, like whatever happened in this house, stay in this house, and blah, 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 blah. We all know that, you know, we already know how that worked out. But when you started opening up, when you started allowing people, or better yet, when you started allowing yourself to become vulnerable, was that a transition for you?
Yeah, that was a huge transition because the way I lived was keep it tucked in and make an outward appearance, like make it all look good on the outside, right? But don't let anybody know that you're going through stuff. And so, yeah, it was a huge transition because I'm used to doing that. I have to consistently tell myself there's people who will help you. It's okay to ask for help. Because I'm a creature of habit, like many of us are, and so it's easy for me to just go into what is normal or what was normal and just do all the things. And at the end of the day, throw my hands up in the air and be like, I'm done. I can't do anything more, right? Just utter exhaustion. And So now that I am in a place where I'm willing to let people know when I could use help or support, yes, it's a huge transition because I feel happier. I feel fulfilled. And I feel like it's the way we're meant to live. That there's life in that. When we come together and support each other, and I tell people all the time, if I could do it all on my own, I would have been the only person here on this earth. There wouldn't be all these other people, right? We need each other. That's when we come together, we are so powerful. And it's no surprise to me how there's such a divisiveness in our country and in the world right now, just this huge division of all types. And I definitely believe it's not without reason. There are things happening at a very spiritual level that it's intentional to tear us apart and keep us divided. And I just refuse to play with that anymore. No. If I need help, I'm going to ask for help. If I see that you could use help, I'll ask you, do you need help? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to run in and try and save you, because I've lived that life too, trying to be the hero. Now I'm going to have enough respect for other people to say, hey, do you need help? And if they do, great, I'll see how I can help. And if they don't, I wish them well, and that's okay.
You know, I was reading up on some of your history, you know, your background, your file and stuff like that. But before I do, I just want to take a break and say thank you all for those who are tuning in. You're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Sachina Kirkendall, and I have the privilege and the pleasure of having Miss Amy. Okay,
there
is last name again. Thank you.
There is one.
And she is one of the contributing authors for the book, and Perfectly Fierce and Focused, visionary author, Reverend Dr. Kiva Lernice Murdaugh. When I say this woman is beautiful, she has a beautiful soul, and I'm referring to Miss, I mean, of course, Miss Kiva have it too, but I'm referring to Miss Amy, because she has such a sweet spirit. I feel it all over here. And as I am getting to know her, because she's one of the people, she's my sister now. You can't get rid of me now. I'm like luggage. I'm not going anywhere. So you know, I'm just letting you know. But what I love, you said something earlier I want to get back on real quick. You mentioned that you used to be quiet at some point, and then you started speaking. And the book is your introduction to bigger things, because you know it's one thing when you're all together with the group, but you get ready to strike, and it's going to be powerful. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it. I commend you for doing that. So I would like to know, what is the name of the chapter, your chapter in this book?
Yes, my chapter is the Zigzag Journey. Because I feel like that's really what I've been on. A zig this way, a zag that way.
I could definitely relate to that. Now, I don't want to get too far in the book, because you got to pick up the book, you all. That release date is coming up soon. But I like what you said when you said you described your journey as a zigzag journey. What do you mean by that zigzag? What does zigzag mean?
You know, like when we used to do the connect the dots, and one line would go to the right, and then the next line would go to the left, and then you might go to the right and down. It's just, you're moving on a journey, but it's not straight. It's not linear. There are setbacks. There are moments where you feel like you're taking one step forward and three steps backwards. However, there is progression, and most of my life is being able to recognize that even when there's times of disappointment or feeling like I'm going backwards, I have taken time to recognize the progress along the way. And that probably has helped me a lot to be able to just keep going.
What do you think helped you keep going?
I would definitely say it was knowing that I was created for something more. I've always known that. I know that we are here on earth to do things big and amazing. And that may be being the president for some people, or being in Hollywood for some people. And then for other people, that may mean doing big things like letting people know they're seen and heard, smiling at someone I intentionally smile at people and I don't know them. I speak to people because I feel that in our society, we rush so much, we overlook the humans that are passing through our life. And so when I say I want to do big things, I don't know what that means. I just know that I'm here for others to help them know that they're not alone, and that together, like the theme of my life, right? Together, we will be more amazing than we could ever be apart. So knowing I was created for big things has been the thing that has always helped me to keep going, even when it's hard. And I've taken the hits. I've been down for the count sometimes, just I don't know how I'm going to get through this, and I'm not sure. But I get back up because I know that if I wake up in another day, there's more to do.
Isn't that something? You said quite a few things I want to unpack. The first thing I want to unpack is something you said. When you said, with everything that's going on right now, it's something spiritual. And yes, I concur with you on that. It is a spiritual going on more now than ever. Because society, our society is doing everything they possibly can to, let me just be straight. Our society is doing our best to act as if the Bible does not exist, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay to do whatever it is that you want to do, and you really can't. It doesn't matter. The word is not going to change. So I agree with you on that. And even, you know, growing up, you know, with that, you're seen than better seen than heard, you know, whatever stays in the house, that go out the house. But as a result of doing that, it has caused so many things in our lives. And it, you know, I tell our parents all the time, when your kids communicate to you, they may not be able to communicate in the way that you want because you're asking them to be an adult when they're a child, but you know when something's up. You know, they will communicate it without communicating, if that makes sense. But it is a spiritual battle here, and if we don't get things together, we're going to be lost in the shuffle, and we just cannot afford. So I commend you for stepping out and saying, hey, we need to do something about this. And you're blessed to be a blessing. That's the thing about, you know, being a blessing, is that we see the messing that goes on, but coming out your shell, that was the first thing. That was the first step, you know, towards, okay, getting my freedom back, you know, then deciding that I'm not going to just come out of my shell. I want to start speaking about it. That's the second thing. And then thirdly, you started paying it forward. Okay, I got to this place of peace. I got to this place of transition. I got to this place of a purpose. And now you go back and pay it forward. Hence the reason of the anthology, Imperfectly Fierce and Focused. You know, that is, it's like the introduction, but I see big things for you, honey. I'm trying to tell you. I see it. But I commend you for that. And being in the Army, I think you were Navy, correct?
Yes, Navy.
Yeah, my son was Navy. So, you know, that alone right there is something. Because when you go into the military, you go in one person, way, you go through what you go through, and then you come out another. And that's what I see in your transition and your zigzag. I'm sure that's part of your zigzag journey. I would ask, I do have a question for you though. You know, for those, let me go back, because I've been wanting to ask about this. I noticed in your bio that you are familiar with
hypnosis?
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. How did you use, was that a part of your zigzag journey, and how did it play in your zigzag journey?
Well, it wasn't, I didn't use hypnosis until recently. I went through a training a few years ago where I learned hypnosis. And I use it in my coaching with some clients. It's not all the time, but it is something that I've, within the last few years, incorporated in my coaching, and I've had hypnosis. Do you have a specific question about it?
Well, does it work?
Oh, yes, definitely. I am surprised at how much, I mean, I could talk forever about this. There's so much we talk about what we want or don't want in the world, right? And when I'm listening to my clients tell me what they want, I'm making notes because they already know what they want. And so, but what happens in life is we often focus on what we don't want because we don't want what we don't want. And so, yes, hypnosis definitely works if you believe it'll work. It's just like anything else. Like, I've seen people stop smoking using hypnosis. I've seen people lose weight. I've seen people totally change their mindset on how they believe about something because they've allowed themselves to express the parts of themselves that they rarely ever talk about. And so when you allow yourself to go into hypnosis, you know what? Let me compare it to like watching a TV show. We go into a hypnotic pattern when we watch a TV show. That's why it was called programming so long ago. Back, you know, it was like, what program is going to be on tonight? Because they were programming you. Happens when you're in the movie theater, when we're watching commercials. And it works. You definitely know it works because you see people doing things that they may see in movies or in TV shows, even other things that come from commercials. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And it's funny, as you mentioned about, you know, the zigzag theory and how, you know, we go left and right and up and down. But the enemy, if you're, you know, for those who are not familiar with it, before he became Satan, he was Lucifer. He was a very pretty angel in heaven over the choir, but media, period. And, of course, he doesn't win anything, but he's going to try to take out as much people to do. And the focus is always TV, radio, some type of communication. And you're right. We could get caught up. And I'll use, for instance, if there's a series on Netflix, I have a brother. He is a TV movie junkie. And if someone tells him about a good series, he will go all the way back from the beginning to get caught up. But, you know, and he's not the only one. I'm the same way. I go back to the beginning, and I, you know, we say, like, okay, I need to go to sleep, and I need to do this. But, that episode was so good. I got to see what else happened. You know, so it's, you're right. It becomes kind of hypnotic because I'm drawn. Now I'm not going to be okay until I don't got 3 days of no sleep because I was drawn and my body tired. But, hey, I'm caught up.
You know, but, there's so many messages.
Yes, you know, and I got to admit, that's part of what you would consider that zigzag journey, that's part of mine. You know, but it's such an easy, it's simple and easy way of getting people off track, if you want to be honest. You know, it's a way of keeping people off track. And, yes, the temptation and, you know, everything is different now. I was just telling someone the other day, I remember one time you wouldn't even see lingerie on soap operas. Now, totally different. You know, it's just everything is totally different. But as we go through this journey in life and your zigzag theory, you know, your zigzag journey, what would you say you learned most going through your zigzag story? Because now you're writing about it. So what would you say as a result of your zigzag journey, what did you get out of it, or what would you like to share as far as, without going too many details, you know, regarding your journey?
I think, you know, what I've learned is to let go of expectation. That's one of the biggest things, I think. And definitely when I was in the military, there was a lot of expectation. So that was a challenge. That is another book, I'm sure, one day. But that, I think that is the biggest thing I learned, was to let go of expectation, learn how to accept myself where I am, and that who I was yesterday or who I was 5 years ago is not who I am today, and it's okay to be who I am today. I went through a big period where I went through depression and anxiety, and those were some very dark days. And when I came through that, I really missed the girl that I used to be, and I could no longer be her. And so I had to learn to embrace who I was post the depression and anxiety, and how I was going to function now. And that was definitely a grieving process, letting go of I really had to grieve the old me and let her go, because I wanted to be her again so bad. Those are some of the biggest things I learned.
You said something that's like, it's that little girl inside of you, that little person inside. And if you could speak to the little girl inside of you, what would you tell her?
That's a good question. I actually do talk to that little girl inside of me a lot these days, because I've realized how much I didn't. And that little girl wanted to be heard and seen. And so if I could talk to her now, I would tell her how much I love her, how much I appreciate her for holding on, for showing up every day, even on the hard days. I would tell her how much she means to me and how proud I am of her for keep going, that I kept going even when I didn't know what I was going for.
That is deep. That is deep. I wish on that. I talk to my little girl. I talk to her all the time. I talk to her all the time. Yeah, I talk to her all the time. You know, it's interesting that when you start sharing your story and you start opening up, you have people be like, "You went through that too? Oh my gosh! Help me! I'm not by myself." Do you find yourself going through that as you share?
Yes, I do. I see a lot of heads nodding. Yes, I do hear a lot of people saying they thought they were the only ones, but they can't believe someone else went through it. And, you know, I believe we cross paths with people on purpose, even if we don't know what we're doing. I'm not a fan, or I don't believe in coincidence. I just don't think that's the way the world works. I think there's a lot of meaning behind everything. So, yes, I do see it a lot when I'm sharing and when I'm speaking, that people will come up to me and tell me, "I can't believe you went through that, too." Yeah.
Is that refreshing?
Refreshing. It's encouraging. And it definitely is a it's feedback to know that I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing.
Confirmation.
Yeah.
Confirmation. Yep. And that's a beautiful thing. Do you ever find yourself, like the book is called Imperfectly Fierce and Focused, you know, how we're still rising while, you know, rising above our imperfection while crushing our goals. In your journey, do you find yourself where you hit that roadblock or you stumble, or do you ever, are you going through that or have gone through that? And what
I didn't hear the whole question.
So do you find yourself tripping up or in your journey as you're moving forward now, do you find yourself tripping up or stumbling? And if you do, what do you do with, what do you do when it happens for you?
Mm-hmm. Yep, great question. Yes, I see that happening throughout my life, even presently, where I might get annoyed and be overly just irritated by something, which is not my normal nature, right? And when I notice it, that's feedback to me that I'm missing something within me, right? Whenever I feel I'm tripping up on something, what I do is just look for the lesson. What am I supposed to be learning here? What is this supposed to be teaching me? So that's really how I get back up and keep going. I used to not do that at all, but now, I mean, even if I can be completely transparent, I went out to dinner the other night with my family. I have 4 children and my husband. And it just did not go the way I wanted it to go. I wanted to have a nice evening out. My oldest daughter was upset because she thought I wasn't considering her plans, and it was a whole thing. My oldest son was not happy with the restaurant we decided and was letting us know. And then my younger two kids were being the younger two kids, and I was just like, oh my gosh, what is happening? It felt like total chaos. And I could have easily been upset with my kids for being vocal or having an opinion. And I knew it wasn't them. It was me. If I'm upset, what is going on with me? It is not them. Mm. It's me. I look inward first because I'm the one who can take responsibility for me. So that's just what I did. I allowed myself to feel what I was feeling. I went and got some fresh air while we were at the table. I had a moment where I went to the bathroom and cried a little bit because I was just overwhelmed. And then when I had time to step away from it and think about it, I realized I'm not giving myself time alone with me. That's what was happening in that moment. And so I was feeling stretched in so many directions. And so that was the feedback. So now I incorporate more time with myself in the morning. It's part of my routine. Or if we're going to go out with the whole family, it's part of my routine to ground myself before I go out with my family or with others, because there's just so much emotions that people are feeling. And so I want to make sure that I am my best self when I'm showing up with others. So yeah, heck yeah, girl. I definitely trip up sometimes. I have very real moments.
Yeah. Yes. And thank you for keeping it real. I love it. How important, you said something about self-care. How important is self-care?
Yes, great question. It's very important. So important that if you're not doing anything for yourself to give back to yourself, I really would want you to check in and be like, are you upset? Are you mad? Like, because if we're not giving to ourselves, we're going to run dry. We cannot expect other people to fill us. We have to fill ourselves up first. Just the same thing with this is taking a little bit of a jump, but like happiness is an inside job. I cannot look to anyone else to find happiness within myself before I can expect to be happy with others. So yeah, self-care is so important. And we might think that self-care is like going and getting your nails done or going and getting a new haircut or laying in a spa or getting a massage. Those are self-care things. Don't get me wrong. I love a good massage. However, self-care can also look like sitting quietly and allowing your mind to become still. And how do you do that? You might wonder. Just focus on your breathing. Focus on breathing in and then exhaling. Because when you focus on that, it's hard to focus on anything else. And if you notice your mind wandering, accept that and be gentle with yourself and just say, it's okay. I'm going to go back to my breathing, right? Years ago, I didn't give myself any self-care, and I'm sure that's what helped get me to that period of my mental health stuff. And then when I learned about self-care and investing in myself, making myself a priority, that was a big switch for me. That was when I stopped trying to play hero for everyone, and I learned how to become my own hero, which interestingly, that's my new branding for my business is I help people find their inner hero or their inner warrior, because we all have that inner warrior within. We just stop listening because it got noisy and there's a lot of stuff happening. And so I want to help people learn how to love themselves again, how to trust themselves, how to accept themselves. That's part of it. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And I commend you. Self-care is so important. You know, when I think about the zigzag journey that you've indicated that you have and still have, because you're still on this earth, I love the way you took charge and started taking care of you first. Because sometimes we get so caught up on taking care of everyone else, we have nothing to give for ourselves. Nothing.
Yeah.
So I commend you for doing that. I commend you for sharing your story in this anthology project. What are your expectations as far as the book is concerned? And, your input. And then the book as a whole. That's a two-part question.
So what are the two parts?
Yeah, so what is your expectation? Now that you're boldly coming out and you're sharing, you're going into your anthology project, what's leading to something bigger for you. But what are your expectations as far as the your contribution towards this book and the book as a whole?
So the book as a whole, I see it being something that everyone could read. You know how there's books that are pivotal in your life that you read and you're like, oh my gosh, that was so powerful. That's what I expect for the book, that it will just help people to transform and to let go of this idea that they're all alone. I hope and desire for the book to be something that begins to unite people, regardless of culture and race. We are humans, and that's where I want to get to, where we can relate on that level, because the other stuff is important, absolutely. And I don't believe we're here to separate ourselves based on those things. So I do truly desire for the book to be kind of like healing balm, that people will begin to say, okay, yeah, I get it. And I'm going to share my story too, because I have done it over and over again. The more I share my story, the more I connect with people. And then for me, yeah, let it sink in for a minute. the more we tell our stories, the more we connect, absolutely. And then for me, this is just my taking that first step to begin sharing more of my story. I'm actually working on another book as we speak that will tell my father-in-law's story and his whole family, their whole story, because they were immigrants. And I'm excited to share that story as well. So this is just the beginning. And like you said earlier, I think you said something about I'm going to strike. I am. This is just the beginning. And I have so much to share that I believe, you know, I believe my story and everyone's story, we have it for a reason. It's not just to tuck down deep inside and never let others know. Our stories transform people. So I don't know where my path will go. I don't know where my zig or zag will take me. But I know that, like I said before, there's more. And I'm here for it. Wherever the road takes me, I'm here to learn from it and grow from it and keep moving forward as best I can along the way. And just taking those setbacks with more grace and more self-love and acceptance.
Beautifully said. How important is it was and is forgiveness during your zigzag journey?
That is a fabulous question. Forgiveness was huge. Absolutely one of the biggest things, because I was angry. I held on to a lot, and I had a lot of unforgiveness. If I could tell you the whole story, do we have a few hours, maybe a few days? There's a lot that I had unforgiveness about, as do probably many of us before we approach life differently. And forgiveness was huge for me. I learned that forgiving others doesn't let them off the hook. It cleans my heart so that I can continue to be who I'm meant to be. Forgiveness, absolutely an essential part of being able to live the life I live now, because if I'm holding on to stuff, I might as well just tie a big stone around my leg and I can't move as freely, right? Yeah, forgiveness is absolutely such a game changer. And I'm not saying it's easy. I sure am not. There were times I did not want to forgive. I remember looking at my husband one time and we were struggling and I was mad and I did not want to forgive. However, I knew I needed to so that I could be me, so that I could keep moving forward. Yeah, there were times I didn't have anything nice to say to him. That's a whole other story. But I remember reading this book. I think it was called Love and Respect. And I was going to try it. I figured, what do I got to lose? So I was going to respect my husband. And one of the things that it talked about was just how much men love to be edified. And I had to look up edified just to make sure I knew what it was talking about. And I said, okay, I'm going to try this. And this was when we were struggling. And the only thing I could edify him about that day was that he put his shoes on and tied them himself. And I said, wow, look at you. You got your shoes on. That was all I could say. I was so mad inside, right? But I was willing to try. And so through our journey together, there's definitely been some zigs and zags. I've forgiven him as he has forgiven me also. Because, look, I am not perfect. That's part of the title, right? Imperfect. I'm not joking about that. I am imperfect. And I accept that. There was a day I used to try to be perfect, and for what? We are not meant to be perfect, except we are created perfectly. However, being created perfectly is different than being perfect every day right? That's not real. And like you said, there was only one man who walked this earth who was perfect, and it's not me.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I just want to commend you for really just taking the time out and sharing on the Chronicles platform. I've been excited about this project since it, and you know, inception, and it's been beautiful to have you all drop in to share your nuggets of wisdom. Which I'm gonna ask you this: what do you have coming up right now?
Mm-hmm. So right now I'm working on a 6-month program that I'm going to be offering people to go a little more slower and learn more about developing trust with yourself, learning how to love yourself, accept yourself, and let go of the stuff that's keeping you from that. Because we have to start with ourselves first. So I'm working on that. I am working on another book, as I mentioned, and to be quite honest, I'm working on being a better mom, being present for my kids more, letting them know how much they mean to me.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. If people wanted to reach out to you, how would they be able to do that?
Mm-hmm. The best way is probably Facebook or Instagram. It's Amy, A-M-I-E. And my last name is Arizmendi, spelled A-R-I-Z like zebra, M like Mary, E-N like Nancy, D like dog, I. You can find me on there. Also, my telephone number. Is it okay to get my telephone number?
Like to?
What?
I said if you would like to, yes, ma'am.
Sure. Yeah, you can reach me at 260-530-1182. I would love to connect and just hear your stories. That's part of why I'm here, is just to hear other people's stories and just let you know that you are seen and heard.
And I want to repeat what I heard. I have a contact number for you. It's 260-530-1182.
Yep.
Okay. Is there a time, like from 8 to 5, 9 to 6?
Preferably between 9 and 4 is a good time to reach me. And if I don't answer, leave a message. I'll call you back.
Is that Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday?
Usually Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. And if you could leave with nuggets of wisdom, what would they be?
Can I share one of my favorite quotes? Kind of long, but I would love to share it.
And you can do whatever you want to do. Go right on ahead.
Yes, very good. So I was on the USS Theodore Roosevelt when I was in the United States Navy, and I don't think it's coincidence that this was one of my favorite quotes. It is the man in the arena, and it goes like this. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes again and again, because there is no effort. There is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. That has been one of my biggest quotes that has helped me through things.
And I see why. Well, there you have it, you all. I had the ladies for the whole month of May. We started off with a bang and we ended with a bang. So don't be surprised that we do a pop-up on the Chronicles platform. I'm not sure, that's a work in progress right now, but don't be surprised. But for those who have gone through, you've heard quite a few of us talk, but, you know, and Miss Amy is phenomenal, you know. I would highly suggest that you purchase the book. Hey, Auntie, I will highly suggest that you purchase the book. There is a story that everyone can relate to. Personally, myself, there are quite a few stories that I'm looking forward to reading the chapters of the book because I can relate on so many levels. Not just mine, but the other ladies as well, especially Ms. Amy here, I can relate to it. There is something that you can relate to with every chapter. And this has been a pleasure and an honor for me. I'm truly humbled to be used as a vessel to get the word out there because you're not alone. You do not have to continue to suffer in silence. Trust me, there is someone out there, and I know that once you purchase this book, you will see it. You'll be able to relate. You'll be able to identify. And not just because I'm a contributing author, it's because this is the stories that I'm hearing. I understand. I will let you know you're not the only one. You're not by yourself. I don't know. Well, the tentative drop date was May 31st, but that has been changed. I do know that I don't know what the new release date is going to be, but please tune in to all of our pages to find out the future, or you can go to the Facebook page for Imperfectly Fierce and Focused. You can do that to find out the date of this book. I am telling you, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. A part of your testimony is sharing your story. And I tell people when you are given a testimony, you don't have the right to keep it to yourself. It is designed to help someone else, to prove to someone else if he got you, if God got you through, he can get them through. And you're personal evidence of that. So with that being said, I will see you tomorrow morning when I am doing my another Chronicles for Comfort moment. It is tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow is Monday, right? It's been a crazy weekend, a holiday weekend. But I will see you again tomorrow morning at 7:30. I want to thank Ms. Amy. I really appreciate you being here. I'm hoping this will not be the first or the last time you decide to stop in because we'd love to have you back to share. With that being said, you're welcome, love. With that being said, I love you, but God loves you more. One more time, I got to give a shout-out to my youngest son, Chase. He was there to help me through my little scare, and he was just brave, and I just got to give him that because I love him. And, he's seen his mom go through a lot. But just his bravery alone, I got to give him his props where props is due. So with that being said, we got to love on our babies. We got to love on, and most of all, love on ourselves, as Ms. Amy said. Forgiveness is for me. Remember that. Forgiveness is not for other people. It is for you. So forgiveness is for me. Remember that. I will see you all tomorrow. Like I said, I love you, but God loves you more. Have an awesome night, and please be safe. All right.
What's up?
I will give you a call. I'm still recording. I'll give you a call in 1 second.
All right.